Gavrilek, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
This is the Super Footy Podcast.
Welcome to the Round 23 Herald Sun Super Footy Podcast for the Tab. Who are you backing now? Within the last hour, I'm joined by Mark Robinson, John Anderson, Brian Taylor. Ross Lyon's been sacked, man. Give me your reaction. Wow. BT.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. We didn't think it'd come now, but we did think that a few weeks ago when he was so publicly talking up what he'd done at the club and what he'd achieved and that he was safe there and all of that sort of thing. I remember mentioning on this podcast that I thought it was just a bit strange because the club weren't coming out and saying the same thing. They said nothing.
I don't think it's incredible. I know you use that word. I don't think it's incredible. You're right, BT. The commentary of Ross Lyon over the last 4 weeks has been quite different to the commentary of his first 10 years of coaching. To borrow a line from Dennis, don't have to tell me how good you are. If you're that good, let others talk about you. So, yeah, it was surprising. And Fremantle cracked the sails a little bit when the media kept on pushing and pushing and pushing. And this is why the media keeps pushing and pushing, because there was speculation around that Ross wouldn't be there next year. And
why, Robert? Why is he not there this year? From outside, they've got a youngish list now. He's introduced a number of young, promising players who've got games into them. You think that for the first time Freo's looking, from when he arrived there, like it's got an upwards track, yet he's gone. There has to be outside influences involved.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that are really interesting to me. I mean, Peter Bell, a football manager, what role has he played? Steve Rossich, the CEO, is gone on 3AW 3 weeks ago. We had Steve Rossich on. We asked him, will Ross be there next year? And will you be there, Steve? And he said, yes.
Do you understand that they sounded out Trevor Nisbet, who's CEO of the West Coast Eagles last year? Trevor was, my understanding was he was going to retire, then the Eagles get up and win a premiership. So that's one for you to think about, that maybe they were trying to get Trevor Nisbet. Another way, Brian, of looking at it is that the Footy Commission holds the licence over there, so the Footy Commission's very powerful. And when you have corporate sponsors, and I'm not talking about their major sponsors, I'm talking about their middle-of-the-road sponsors, the sponsor that puts in $20,000 or $30,000 a year, my understanding is some of those have become disenfranchised, pulled out, thought they weren't getting value for money. You spend a bit of time over there. You'd be closer to that than I am.
Yeah, and I know a couple of those very sponsors, and Owen, I hear exactly the feedback you're saying, that they haven't been happy about it, and that they weren't going to be happy unless the coach was changed. Maybe when you look at their wins, win locks, etc. Well, they've sort of, I think they're a win or two above where they were last year. But maybe Fremantle expect more than that. Maybe they expect and understand that their side's got to be competing for finals every year, and it's not. So, as Robbo said, incredible was the wrong word, but it is interesting to say the least.
They would have had a fair idea where they were going with this. So you talk about a coach down the track, Robbo, that's the next step. They haven't missed out on a coach to date because David Teague, they wouldn't have gone for.
No.
Because Rhys Shaw, they probably wouldn't have gone for. Those two blokes grew into those jobs through circumstance. So the coaches who are available are still out there. I'll throw up some nuts. Well, you go first.
Well, Justin, at the top of the, not the top of the heap, amongst the assistant coaches who have getting really, really good raps is Justin Longmuir. The other one is, of course, Brad Scott. He's not going to get the St Kilda job. He didn't get the Carlton job. He will be sought after. But the big one, Ando, and we've already discussed this off air. I think the biggest, and perhaps it's a bit of a long shot, but I can see a direct swap of John Worsfold and Ross Lyon. John Worsfold's family's back in Western Australia. He's
an old Freo boy.
And he's considered royalty in Western Australia. And I'm not saying he's not considered that here, but all his exploits are over in the West. Premiership captain, coach. So I wouldn't be surprised if I was heading up the Dockers. I'd be very interested to find out what John Worsfold's doing. And that leaves Ross Lyon for Essendon. And everyone's saying, oh, clubs have got to do something different. They've got to do something different. Why do we just appoint a senior coach? You know, I had a chat to a former St Kilda player, I won't name him because he wouldn't like me to, recently. He said, we're talking about Ross Lyon to Essendon, and he said, well, right, couldn't Ross go as like a director of coaching role? Ben Rutten takes over as senior coach. He's into all the tactics. Essendon want to play a certain brand of football, and Ross becomes like a figurehead of coaching.
Are you serious? Would you honestly, if you were Ben Rutten or anyone like that, want to kick off your coaching career with Ross Lyon? I could think of nothing worse than Ross Lyon having that overpowering influence. But are you with me on that one, Bas?
Yep, 100%. No way.
I know what you're saying, Robbo, and it makes sense because he's got so much experience. I call him nine-goal Rossi because that's what his sides kick, nine goals. And they've done that for a long period of time. They've done it in grand finals. They haven't won grand finals because of it. And Ross can hate that as much as he likes, but it's a fact of life. And I'm glad they didn't because I don't like sides that only kick nine goals.
I'll tell you where the pressure will come a little bit. It'll be really interesting. With the appointment of David Teague at Carlton, I'm really interested to see whether the upward form continues with the Blues next year, because if it doesn't, I'm sure if they'd known Ross Lyon was available, I don't think David Teague would be coaching Carlton right now.
Really?
I think Ross Lyon would be coaching Carlton now. With Robert Walls there, with Steve Silvani there, great connections. You know, I would be very surprised if this doesn't create some outside pressure. No pressure inside, but some outside pressure from us, because they will have missed an opportunity. And this is the disadvantage of going early and appointing before you need to appoint. No one was coming after David Teague.
I disagree wholeheartedly. Kane Little, who was recruited from Richmond, where he dealt with membership and ticketing and fans and etc., absolutely has high on his priority the club and its figureheads embracing the fans. Now, Ross Lyon is not a person who embraces his fan base, and I would absolutely see no chance if Kane Little is CEO and Mark Legutsche is president, that Ross Lyon will end up at Carlton.
No, I didn't say he would. I just said it'll be interesting to see the pressures that it creates. I didn't say that they would then change. Of course they won't. They've just appointed a coach and he'll get a fair run. He'll get 4 or 5 years before they've changed over. I'm just saying it'll be very interesting to see if the upward trend doesn't continue at Carlton, that the pressure may come back, and we'll be saying in a year's time or 2 years time they appointed him too early.
I'll give you a name now that will be right up the top of the pops, Jared Schofield. There you go, Jared Schofield.
Come on, Andy.
Yeah, hang on. If I said David Teague was going to coach Carlton and Reece Shaw was going to coach North Melbourne 6 months ago, you would have gone more than come on.
Oh boy, wow, were you?
Jared Schofield's what's he done? He's won three premierships in the Waffle with CB Acca. He then joined Port Adelaide. He's extremely well thought of. The other one's Gary Hocking. And if it probably won't make any difference, but if Collingwood continues its upwards trend and get deep into September, Gary Hocking will again be looked upon as someone who's been influential in that. And we discussed him last week, Barge, and I know you're a Gary Hocking fan. He's another one that they'll look at for sure.
So he'd be one of the first in line for me.
So if you had the choice now, North, Essendon, Carlton, St Kilda and Fremantle. Fremantle's right up the top end of a list you wanted to take over next year.
Well, we haven't seen the might of the Fremantle list because
Rossi... saw glimpses, when they beat GWS in...
Rossi coaches in a certain way that we get to see glimpses more than the total package. Now, of all that group, I would have been happy to take the Carlton list.
And but then Fremantle ahead of the others?
I'm of the belief that the Essendon list has got a lot of talent, but the Essendon list has to, and the coaching, in my belief, has to change its defensive ways of playing the game. Now, Ross Lyon is that. That's why I can see a certain attractiveness from Essendon bringing in a defensive coach, because they've got some offensive talent. But Essendon can't survive and be a contender in the way that they play. In my opinion, they just can't do it.
You know, Robert, you're just talking about Carlton then, wanting a coach who everyone embraces, the membership's over 60,000. If Ross Lyon had gone to Carlton and they start kicking 9-10 goals again, that's not what Carlton
was.
No,
they'd be going nuts.
They would totally be going nuts.
So, I mean, is it possible, guys, that we may not see Ross Lyon coaching again?
Well, next year, in the interim, I would think he would come back to coaching at some stage.
Do you? I actually think part of the last couple of messy years at Fremantle, although it was sort of all was cleared up in some sort of way, the Rossi stuff with the woman and press conferences last year and the headlines, I would have thought that brought on a lot of unnecessary and unfortunate heat onto Ross and the football club. I don't think that would have sat well with the decision makers.
You've got Brad Scott has had 9 years, Ross Thine's had, what, Scotty, 13 years, something like that. So Brad Scott, 2 prelim finals, Ross Thine with St Kilda, 2 a draw, a grand final they lost by 12 points to Geelong. They lost the replay to Collingwood quite easily. And then the Freo one they lost by, I'd say, 15 points or thereabouts. So he's been close 3 times, and that's closer than most coaches ever get. So he'll coach again.
Yeah, he
should have a year off next year, Ross Lyon. Get away from it. So just get in the media for a year. Work with those people he's been bagging for the last 13 years.
You ever had a run-in with him?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, very briefly early doors. I find him quite entertaining, Ross Lyon, I've got to say. When I watch him in the box and at his conferences, he's a smart aleck. I mean, that's part of what you get. But he is a bit. You've had a run-in with him, haven't you?
No, I haven't had a run-in with him. He's from Reservoir. Myself and Scotty used to play footy at West Preston. Yeah. And a few West Preston boys went down to Fitzroy with Rossi. And some of them are my really, really good mates. So I knew Rossi through them. I've had a couple of beers with Ross. I think he's really entertaining. I really enjoy. But like all coaches, when they start coaching or put their coaching hat on, they go to different places in their heads. And Ross Lyon went to a very barren, autocratic kingdom, right? And that's where he lived. Whereas, for an example, Chris Fagan's kingdom is, it's like the happy place. What was it? Like the dancing feet of the penguins.
The love boat.
The love boat. But he still gets a little bit upset, Fags. Yeah, it'd be really interesting. As I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he's coaching Essendon next year and Ross Lyon is coaching Fremantle.
BT, what do you think about the Essendon? They're going to play finals. They're going to limp in. And do you think Walsfold's in as much trouble as Mark Robbo does?
No, I don't, but I do think that this Fremantle thing has changed things dramatically from what Robbo pointed out there. You know, the fact that his wife and family are living over in Perth, that's his home state, he's an old Fremantle. It all makes sense and things could change now. But I think before today, John Worsfold probably wouldn't have been interested at all. But now that the Fremantle job is available, I just wonder whether he might say, yeah, gee, you know, might push on and take that job if I got offered it. So it changes it a little bit now. Before today, I didn't think there was absolutely any need to change at all. This is a team that's won 6 of their last 8 games. They're going to play finals for the first time in a long time. What more can you ask of a coach?
We all fall for this, BT, so don't take this personally, but don't be naive, because if Fremantle knew that they were going to get rid of Ross Lyon, the way Ross Lyon has changed his mannerisms and talking capabilities in the last month, Fremantle have probably known for quite some time that they'll be looking for a coach. Fremantle aren't going to just wake up on a Sunday or a Monday morning and pull this trigger. I wouldn't be surprised if Fremantle have already spoken to some people, or their number one target at least. And if that is John Worsfold, I'd be very surprised to hear that they haven't spoken to John Worsfold. This is what happens. Alistair Clarkson last night said, yeah, I've spoken to Stephen Cornelio. For people,
that's why I said, Robbo, that I think this job, a Fremantle job becoming available, changes everything for John Worsfold.
But if they want Worsfold, he won't be. He'll just go there. He'll get the job. That's mine. Like, you're not going to get 6 candidates of which Worsfold's won.
No, I agree.
He doesn't need to go through that. That's my understanding of his.
Hear me out here. I don't think Worsfold at Essendon will be, you're sacked, get out. My scenario at Essendon is Xavier Campbell and the president sit down with John and say, hey, John, thanks so much what you've done for this football club. When you took over, we were coming out of the fog. You have been absolutely unbelievable for this club, but we honestly think we might have to go in a different direction with our coaching. But we, we don't want this to be bloody. We want this to be hay. So if you want to plan for your future, you can start planning for your future. So I actually think that scenario is alive. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think it's a very alive scenario.
Robbo, you mentioned Kinnig there. BT, what'd you make of Clarko? I mean, it's the age we live in now. He's been to see him a couple of times, and he was quite open about it last night.
Sorry, Clarko in relation to what, Scotty?
Stephen Coniglio and being interviewing him and trying to get him to Hawthorn.
Hang on. Do you watch AFL 360, Brian?
When I turn the TV on a particular time, sometimes I do. Probably catch one or two episodes a week.
Alistair Clarkson was on last night with Brad Scott. Brad Scott spoke about his comments about Charlie Cameron. Chris spoke about his comments about Charlie Cameron. Yep. And then we asked Alistair Clarkson about Stephen Coniglio. And he was asked, has he spoken to Coniglio? And he said, yes.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because GWS, their talent pool's just going to evaporate. They're all just wanting to leave because they all know it's over there. They've had a shocking second half to the year. Shocking run with injuries too, I might add. But their chances of challenging for a premiership now, I reckon, are just about finished this year. Too many players leaving, too many Coniglios wanting to get out. It appears that they're going to lose another one or two really good players. They just can't keep hemorrhaging players at the top end and expect to compete. It's over for GWS.
And what do those players want to leave? Not because they dislike that club in any shape or form, but it's my understanding is they want to get to Melbourne. And this Devon Smith said this. So did Dylan Scheel. So did Adam Treloar. They want to play in front of big crowds. They want to be at Anzac Day. So those players have all gone to Anzac Day because they're either Essendon or Collingwood. They want to play Dreamtime, the two players at Essendon. They want to play in the Friday night lights. They don't want to play in front of 11,000, whatever the Bull Tish figure is that they put up every week up in Sydney. And GWS can't replicate that. That's no fault of their own.
No, they can't.
I think the club's been really well set up. I'm not going to be critical of what they've done, what Dave Matthews has done on the rest of the club.
Matthews done a great job, but that's not his fault.
So are you too worried? We're all certainly worried about the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah.
Are you now very worried about the future
of GWS? I am, because Jeremy Cameron's out of contract next year, so he's another massive figure. I think the window's well and truly closed, and I've been a GWS supporter. I've tipped them to win the flag this year. I've backed them accordingly. Their chance was 2016, 2017. Their list in 2016, I said it last week, that's the best list in the last 20 years of any club by a fair way. And I stand by that.
Do you think you're worried about their future, Brian?
I'm not worried about their future because I know it'll be underpinned by the AFL as we go forward for both Gold Coast and GWS. So am I worried that they're going to go out of business? No, I'm not. Am I worried that they're going to be able to compete? Absolutely I am.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on everyone up there. I spoke to GWS. They've had some really bad news today. Nick Hain, who is probably, I think, going to be All-Australian. Looks like he might have a fractured larynx after the incident with Marcus Bontempelli on the weekend. Bontempelli got found guilty, low contact, got a $2,000 fine. He's eligible for the Brownlow Medal, and that's good. That's absolutely great for Marcus Bontempelli. If it is a fractured larynx, Nick Hain could miss up to 4 games. That puts him out of the likely return match against the Dogs. In 2 weeks, they got Jeremy Cameron with a hamstring. They're saying, Ando, for those who may have had a little bet on Jeremy Cameron at the start of the year at 21s, that it looks like Jeremy's going to play this week.
It's too late, Robert.
Ben Brown plays Melbourne in Tasmania.
It's going to be cold, Melbourne. Hamstring.
I think 15.
You'd rather play Melbourne than Gold Coast right now.
Yeah, they're under their performance in the last 2 weeks back to the Giants has been really, really disappointing. And you know, it just adds a lot of pressure on everyone, including the coach.
Their captains, Callum Ward's coming back from a knee, around 30, Cal. Phil Davis, the co-captain, same age. Shane Mumford's on the way out.
No, there is. There's going to be some. You know what? They had their chance and they couldn't take it. They just couldn't take it.
BC, what about your seedings? Richmond, West Coast, great game. Geelong, Brisbane, close game. Any change in your thinking regarding premierships?
No, still Richmond West Coast for me. Brisbane did convince me on the weekend that they are now really genuine, beating a top contender up there. So they're more in the hunt than they thought they were. Can they win? Probably not. But West Coast and Richmond, and I've said Richmond, this run that they're on at the moment, 8 games in a row, absolutely sensational. I know Brisbane have won 9 in a row, but I just like the way Richmond are playing. The desperation is back. They're ready to go. They want to win. I think they will. It's going to be West Coast Richmond for me.
Hey, you just said Brisbane impressed you. They won by a point at home. So what, about the side that they beat? Have they just written them off Geelong?
No, Geelong will be all right because they'll be back in Melbourne at the MCG. Love playing here, Ando. Their second half of the year hasn't been great, but I think they're good enough to get home. They've got enough players that understand big games like Ablett and Dangerfield and Selwood and these guys. They know how to get themselves up for big games. I got no doubt they're going to find what's been missing over the last few weeks and be ultra competitive. And as a Geelong supporter, you should be as well.
Collingwood?
Oh, yeah, there were signs.
There were signs, Scotty. Getting a few players back here and there, a few more back this week maybe. So there are signs. There's no hope for Collingwood when they didn't have those players, but now they're getting a few back. Things are just starting to turn for Collingwood a little bit, I reckon. Be interesting to see how they go against the Bombers on Friday.
Hey, Brian, did you watch Geelong and Brisbane, and did you watch West Coast and Richmond?
I saw snippets of both. I was up at Sydney while those games were happening, watching the GWS game, but I saw snippets of both and I was ultra impressed with both.
Were you ultra impressed with Fox Footy's coverage? Because they had the two blockbuster games
over the weekend. Yes, they did. That won't ever happen again, probably. I wouldn't have thought.
What was the feeling inside Channel 7 that Fox Footy got those two games of the year on the one weekend?
Yeah, well, it happens. It's happened before, and Fox pay a lot of money, deserve to get good games occasionally. That is for sure. That's number one. Number two, the feeling from inside, just from a commentator's point of view, but not from an admin point of view, was, you know, why are we having to decide on these games so far out? Why are we attending to dead rubbers? Why aren't we shifting that around? So I wouldn't be surprised whether there's negotiations currently underway and that might change by a week or two. Next year, I don't see any reason why they can't have a fixture that for the last 3 weeks of the year can be decided at that particular time. But, you know, I've got no problems. Fox have got to get some good games here and there, and fixture works out sometimes in their favour, sometimes not. So it's great. Just remember, footy finals are, well, they're live and free on 7.
Hey, just
they're normally the good games.
As a commentator and you're listening to other commentators, just quickly, who do you like listening to at Fox, and who do you like listening as special comments? Who are your faves?
I love listening to Dwayne Russell, so he's my favourite commentator there, I would say, at Fox. And I love the thoughts of Gary Lyon. I still think Gary's probably the best, or one of the best special comments guys going around.
Better than Duck. Better than Duck.
No, both different and both got their good points, but in a very different way. But he's pretty good. But if you're asking me who's good at 7, then they're all good.
Beautiful, Brian. Now, gentlemen, we've got on to a man who's got the finger on the pulse over in WA, Brad Hartley, Brando medalist. Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. Great to be with you. What a big day.
Now, did you see this one coming? Big Ross gone.
100%. Yeah, no, I think I've been kept at the choo-choo train, to be honest. But, this has been a problem club for not the last few months. This has been a couple of years in the making, and I don't make light of it. Just back to probably when the first sign of the sexual allegations were made, and it really started to chip off and erode from there. Ross maintains that he's never coached better and he'd live and die by his win-loss record and all of those sort of things, but it just wasn't adding up. And from my point of view, I believe the catalyst was the West Australian Football Commission. About 2 weeks ago, they decided that it was time to intervene. They like to let their football clubs run on all full autonomy where they can. The West Coast Eagles are going beautifully, as you could appreciate, winning a flag and got plenty in the bank and going on swimmingly. Well, Fremantle are hemorrhaging, fellas. Absolutely hemorrhaging. They drop off in their membership. the middle range membership, you know, the $20,000 and $30,000 box holders were down by over 50% this year, and that was because of what was going on the field and the demeanour of their coach, and it was all being covered up. And finally, push came to shove, and the Fremantle Dockers board received a call from the Football Commission a fortnight ago saying they have to go.
Who do you know on the Football Commission would have been? Who's the strong figures who would have been driving this decision?
Oh, Murray McHenry would have been the man who delivered the news for sure, because he's the head of the West Australian Football Commission, Robbo, as you appreciate. You know, and it would have been his job to convey their thought processes. This was a chance for us of infiltrating the major sponsorships as well. You know what I mean? I mean, we live in such, you guys and I, we all know, don't we? You know, it's such a touchy world these days. And, you know, and people don't throw their money around like men with no arms. You know, they want to see results for their sponsorship. They want to make sure that they're involved in a football club that's got fabric of great culture and, you know, great messaging and all that sort of stuff. Well, Fremantle don't have that. And as much as, and to be brutally honest, I understand that Ross Lyon has a lot of tentacles in the media in Melbourne. He has a lot of friends in the media in Melbourne who have protected him for time and time again. And look, it's just not good enough. And I'm not having a drive by at them as such, but it'd be like somebody from Western Australia trying to cast, you know, an examination over Melbourne or St Kilda. They wouldn't know. So the questions that they ask whenever Ross Lyon or Steve Rossich was on the line, they would get the platitudes and they'd accept the platitudes as real and never, ever challenge them. And that was their downfall in this situation, because we in Perth, and we've been told that, you know, we're anti-Ross Lyon. No, we're not. We want to see a strong, healthy two football clubs. We weren't getting that. We're getting it out of West Coast. We certainly aren't getting it out of Fremantle.
If they knew 2 weeks ago the direction they were going to go down as the footy commission, they would have some idea of their shortlist. Any names for us?
Yep. Oh, 100%. Now, listen, this is how it's working. So they knew there was going to be a payout. It's nowhere near some of the things that have been pushed around, because Ross got a couple of years up front in this current contract. So the payout wouldn't be any more than $600,000 to $700,000. I assure you that. Still a lot of money in the layman's terms. But in the soft cap, they didn't have the money to pay it. They don't have the money to pay it. And that's where the Football Commission are going to have to step up. But from my point of view, how much was it going to cost them going forward? What they need to do now is be inventive with the soft cap next coach going forward. So you go in, it should be a Melbourne Cup field. It probably won't be, but it should be a Melbourne Cup field. You work your way backwards on who your ideals are to who you maybe think could be a chance for the job and put them through the process. Now, the mathematics are this. Okay, we've budgeted for Ross's money for next year in the soft cap. You go and find your coach and you say, okay, John Anderson, you're our next coach. We can only pay you $300,000 next year, John, but we'll give you a 3-year contract and we'll back end the next two. That's how it will work. So they don't get themselves all tangled up next year, and I don't think they'll have a problem finding somebody they'll put into that mould.
Did Ross's character, persona, or how much of a role did Ross's character and persona, separate of his coaching, play on his departure?
100%, Robbo. As late as that board meeting down in Port, you know, down at the AFL house a couple of weeks ago after they got absolutely smashed by the Bulldogs, Peter Mann put it to it. He put the question to it, because Ross has all the answers, always does. He's always been a very good talker, a very, very good salesman, no doubt about that. The question was put to him, how much effect do you think your persona is having on the growth of this football club on and off the field? He went ashen-faced. It just drained, his blood drained from his face. He had no answer.
And you know that for a fact, Brad?
100%.
Was that the first time that someone has challenged Ross on his character and persona from the club?
Oh, look, I think behind closed doors it would have been done several times. I mean, you only have to look back to those allegations and the work done by Mickey Warner and Drill, Stephen Drill, on that case last year. It would have been questioned many, many times. Don't worry. And it would have been thought about. And Robbo, you know, we're in this industry and we've all been in this industry a long time. We're saying what people have been thinking. You know, I mean, there's not too many of us out there that do that. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure he would have been challenged on a number of occasions.
Okay,
yeah.
Do you think that any prospective club looking at Ross Lyon to coach next year or the year after, do you think that they should be worried about any baggage that is still being carried around over these sexual allegations, misconduct allegations?
Look, I'm only one person in the world. I'd be staggered if he gets another job. I'd be staggered if he gets the coaching.
So the answer to my question is yes, I think there's baggage?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He's such a divisive character. Now, you'll always have, and you can understand this, you'll always have, and I'm happy to name names, you'll always have your great champions like Nick Riewoldt, Lee Montagna, Nick Del Santo, Nat Fyfe, David Mundy, Michael Walters, who'll come to the fore and support Ross Lyon. They're not the ones you need to coach. It's the rest who get absolutely pizzled and ostracised and embarrassed and berated, you know, on a regular basis. They're the ones that you'll get the truth out of, you know, and they're not going to do it while they're currently holding down a position as a player on a list. This is the most ridiculous thing I ever see when I have players, you know, interviewed by people like us or on TV, you know, are you supportive of Ross Lyon? Of course they are. Because what if it doesn't work? They're going to be out of a job. It's their livelihood. So he always ingratiates himself with the champs. He's not so good. That's why he's never been a developing coach, Robbo. Everybody says he's been a finishing coach. What has he ever finished? I understand. Yeah, he did okay with St Kilda and one bounce of the ball. He may have been, but if my auntie had whiskers, she'd be my uncle. But the bottom line is it didn't bounce that way. He hasn't finished anything other than a few blokes' careers, to be honest.
Beautiful, Brad. Now, we'll leave you with one. Who's going to be the next coach of Fremantle?
I don't want to say, because everything I tell them to do, they do the opposite. So they've got to think of it themselves. But the shortlist has got to be, you know, it takes a long time. Unless they think of it themselves, it's not a good idea. So we have to, I think this, the blockage has been removed. I think you have to consider that. I still have a firm belief that, you know, Bush will be back in Perth next year. I don't think he'll coach Fremantle, but he may have some role. I think Peter Sumich is an outstanding candidate. What he's done, where he's been, his pedigree, they would sell itself in a heartbeat. He's coached the under-18s national championships to a win this year. He's unearthed guys like Sydney Stack and everybody else that when no one else wanted them and what they've turned out to be. In an ideal world, he'd be my choice. Justin Longmuir's name will come to the fore because he's got Fremantle pedigree. He's at Collingwood at the moment.
Brad Scott. Coach.
Brad Scott could be with the Peter Bell connection, maybe from, you know, what he learned from North. And I dare say that Daly will probably be CEO and it might be someone else's choice from their own. But rest assured, the Football Commission, the owner of the licence, will be riding shotgun over this one. Don't worry about that. And the other bloke is probably out of left field that no one's really thought about at the moment. Could be a bloke like Jared Schofield, currently at Port Adelaide, who's had pedigree at Subiaco Football Club, played for Fremantle. They are just some of the names. I'm not saying any one of them will get it.
Thanks,
but
mate.
They were just some of the names that would be on probably a shortlist that they would have drawn up already.
And I went with Schofield earlier. That's outstanding from you two. Brad, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Always a pleasure.
Ross, we saw a number of players go down off the ball. Was there a message before the game you wanted your players to be physical at all times? Or was that...
Well, I'm not sure what you're alluding to. Are you talking about Dockers players or Geelong players?
Geelong players. We saw a few Geelong
players. Well, I think you're out of line because what I saw some Dockers players go down off the ball.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
As well. But yeah. Did you have a message to your players in particular?
What do you think?
I don't know, you tell me, you're the coach.
Well, I just think it's a silly question. Okay. We play within the rules.
Zach Austin's game, Ross Wilson, I think it's about 4 months.
Yeah. What's your name?
Mine.
Yeah.
Shane
who?
McGinnis.
Okay, that's the best question you can come up with after 2 hours of footy. You're quite brilliant, Shane. Yeah, terrific.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, just go to Behind the Goals Vision and have a look. We'll see what comes out. Terrific, Shane. Yeah.
Now, Ando, we've got another special guest with a Ross Lyon flavour. Shane McGinnis, 3AW broadcaster, had a very funny and interesting run-in.
You're a genius, Shane.
Welcome, Shane. Take us through you and Ross and your wonderful lives together.
Hello, gentlemen. 2013 qualifying final down in Geelong. I thought I'll do the right thing, go down to the rooms for 3AW, ask a couple of questions, stood at the back of the room. All you print types were down there as well, and I got in one of the early questions. I think I was 2 or 3, and I remember asking Ross, look, did you have a message for your players that day to go out and be physical? You know, rough up Geelong a bit. And that's when it started. And he started throwing the questions back at me, the line, you're quite brilliant, Shane. And what was incredible at that moment is the sweat beads on my brow came to the fore is that all you print types took a step back, and I was right at the front of the press conference, and for the remainder of that press conference, it was no longer about the Fremantle Dockers, rather about that question to Ross Lyon. And I remember walking out of there, and I don't think I have ever been shaking or sweating so much. I'd seen others brought down by the likes of Mick Mouldhouse and such, but I wasn't expecting it that day, I'll be honest.
And that was after the first side had ever gone to Geelong and actually won a finals game at Cadinia Park. So he should have been happy. Imagine if they lost, Shane. After that, how was your relationship with him from then on?
We didn't see a lot of each other. And I remember probably 2 years ago, I was down in Launceston for 6PR radio, and we were walking through the airport, and I was a line ahead of him in the security line, and I could see him talking to a couple of Fremantle colleagues, just pointing over and kind of giggling that I was the man that caused the ruckus in 2013. And a little bit later that evening, we were in the taxi rank, just us to a Melbourne airport, and he kind of got to that moment where we have to say something to each other, and I said, "Oh, good win today," and he just kind of looked at me and goes, "Yeah, no, it wasn't bad," and that was it. And that's the only time we've spoken since that incident. And I've certainly, you know, copped a ribbing from Fremantle fans over the years whenever I've been critical of Ross, and you know, while you feel for someone when they lose their job, it's just a little bit of arrogance that I thought, no, it was a little bit too much for him this year, and I think the old karma bus came to the fore today.
And when the news filtered through this morning, you were very quick on social media for your fans. Tell us what you did.
I just did the wry smiley face with hashtag brilliant. I'd like to think that I came up with that immediately, Scotty, but I sat in the cafe for about 5 minutes going, what do I do here? Because it's got to have cut through. So I just wanted to be subtle, to say the least.
What's the expression, Shane? Every dog has its day. In this case, every lion has its day.
Ah, boom, boom. Shane, thanks for joining us. It's been outstanding.
Dare I say, maybe he just needs to have a look at what he stands for as a coach, and I'll leave it at that.
Oh, okay. On that note, Shane McGuinness, thank you very much.
But, you know, we've got some sore boys that had plenty of wax, and there was plenty of on and off ball things that will probably be looked at, I would suggest. So to elude was one team. I can't let it go because it's incredibly disappointing. And I'm not sure what you're alluding to. So I think you've got to look at what you stand for as a journalist, to be frank. Shane?
Welcome back to the Herald Sun Super Footy podcast. Now, Adelaide, it's not a place to be, so we thought we'd find
it's
out
a place to visit.
What the hell is going on. We've got dual premiership captain Mark Bickley. Morning, Bix.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Now, very rarely, usually they take it in turns, don't they? One club in horrors and the other going okay, but they're both in the mire together.
Yes. Yeah, it's an interesting setup, isn't it? When you look at Adelaide, I actually feel like Adelaide, the issue is certainly on field with their list is hit the wall very, very quickly, and they really haven't added much youth over the last couple of years, and unfortunately they've got some pain ahead of them. For Port Adelaide, it's slightly different. It's more a discontent with the supporter base, with Ken Hinckley. They've run out of patience really with him, even though I think their list looks really well placed. They decided to trade in a couple of their better players in Pollock and Wingard last year. They invested in some high picks. And Rosie, Dersma, Butters have all been outstanding. Marshall's a good player, but they've just been so inconsistent, which, as I said, has the supporters running out of patience with Ken Hinckley.
Ross Lyon's just been sacked today. Would you be surprised, or how surprised would you be, Bix, if Port Adelaide moved on Ken Hinckley?
I would be really surprised, only because of the financial nature. Like, Port Adelaide, if we're to believe what everyone is talking about, they are on a knife edge at the moment. Their crowds are down. They haven't sold all their inventory in terms of their sponsorship and corporate boxes and all that sort of stuff. So they are financially in a bind. And so to think that they would be able to sack a coach and then pay out what the figure would be, I've got a suggestion or a feeling that they would have to get permission from the AFL before they could do that. And I don't think the AFL would look upon that too kindly, saying, you want us to help you and put money into your footy club, and here you're going to basically cut your losses and pay out a coach because you don't think he's the right man. So I just don't see that happening at Port Adelaide.
Set aside Ken Hinckley's character. I think everyone who's met Ken Hinckley likes the man. Yeah. He's a thoroughly decent person. But sometimes in situations like this, Bix, you know, keeping the status quo can hurt the club more than that band-aid effect of saying, well, if he's not the coach, we've got to get rid of him. And I say that only because I look at David Koch, the chairman, and I look at him, I wonder sometimes, what in the hell is going on in your head, Koshy?
Yeah, well, look, I think there was a revelation that came out last night where Ken Hinckley basically said, even though he's got 2 years to go of his contract, the last year has a trigger clause in it that suggests that he's got to make finals for that to be enacted. So really, Port Adelaide have 1 year left with Ken Hinckley. Now, it's easy for me to say, look, you just got to stick with him. What we've seen this year, I think, shows that they are going to be an exciting team moving forward. I think they're going to get better. And they've debuted Laddams, who looks like a good ruckman. They've played Garner down back. As I said, Marshall is a key position player. He's played some footy. Kane Farrell's another one who's played a bit of footy. They've introduced lots of young players. Ryan Burton, as a 21-year-old, I reckon that deal is looking absolutely outstanding at the moment for the next 7 or 8 years, the swap with the Hawks for Wingard. So I feel like they're about to go forward. But as I was about to say, I haven't lived the ups and downs that Port Adelaide fans have lived. But they made the prelim final in 2014 with a young Wingard, a young Ollie Wines. They had Robbie Gray. They've had all these great players, and they got so close to making the grand final. Then it was Paddy Ryder was the last piece of the puzzle. Then it was Charlie Dixon. Then it was Jack Watts. Then it was Rockcliffe. Then it's Lysette. They've just kept adding what everyone thought has been the last piece of the puzzle, but they haven't won a final since 2014. So I can understand there is some people, Port fans in particular, who have run out of patience with Ken, and they've wondered whether he is the man to go forward. But like I said, I haven't lived the pain that the Port fans have lived, and I'm just looking purely from their list point of view on what they've done this year, and I think the only way for them is up. Whereas at the other end of the scale with Adelaide, I think they've got a dip and a dip for a period of time before they recover and push back up the ladder again.
So Dom Pike survives, but a few around him mightn't. Is that a fair call, Bix?
Well, it's interesting because they appointed two new coaches last year in Michael Godden and also Marty Matner. So those guys would have signed multiple year deals. Scott Camporelli, I think, is still contracted. So I think if there's only one coach who is out of contract, which is Ben Hart. So that's a precarious position to be in, I would have thought. What we're hearing, there's a lot of discontent in the Adelaide supporter group, not so much with the playing group, maybe a little bit with the coach, but it's been a lot around the management, Brett Burton, Andrew Fagan, Rob Chapman, who just haven't really endeared themselves to the Crows supporter base, who have been looking for answers, asking for transparency. They weren't happy with what went on last year. They felt as if they didn't get any sort of review or transparency on what actually did happen last year after coming so close in 2017. So there's some discontent around the footy club with that side of it, and the way the list has been managed after the grand final in 2017, the loss there, they really didn't change anything. They had a horrible 2018. They pretty much went in with exactly the same group again, and so right now they've got to cut fairly close to the bone. They've got probably 8 blokes who are 30 or on the wrong side of 30 that most likely won't be there next year.
People power played a pretty huge role in the appointment of David Teague at Carlton. Can you just sort of let us into the power of the people in the city of Adelaide when it comes to, you know, angst from support from, you know, various segments of the supporter base?
Yeah, well, it's a bit different in Adelaide because of the board structure with the Adelaide Football Club. You know, like I often hear about, you know, we go back a few years and at Richmond there was talk of someone putting up a ticket, and we've seen it at Melbourne and they're going to toss it up one board. That can't happen in Adelaide. They have one member elect board member, so there's no way that people can get together and organise an extraordinary general meeting and say, we want a new board. It just can't happen. So And that is what a lot of people are unhappy with. They feel like they aren't being heard. So it's a really tough one. And, yeah, I'm not sure what the answer is. The only thing that does tend to cut through, and this is where Port Adelaide are feeling it acutely at the moment, is when people stop turning up to the games. Now, the other week on a Saturday night against the Giants, Port Adelaide had 27,000 people. You know, that's their best time slot, Saturday night against a high-ranking team, and Port were, you know, struggling to make the finals. You would have thought that you would have got a really big crowd there. And Adelaide at the moment, we haven't really seen the drop-off, but there is a lot of discontent on social media and on talkback radio, which I'm a part of, where people saying, I just feel like I'm not being heard by the footy club. I'm just not going to renew my membership next year. So eventually, when those sort of metrics start to roll through and your membership drops and you don't sell as many season ticket holders, eventually you have to start listening. And I think that's right now where the Adelaide Football Club are, and that's the sense I get with their membership.
Mark, thank you for your time. It's going to be very interesting in the City of Churches for the next few months. Thanks again, Bix.
Thanks, guys.
And now we cross to the Tab with Jared Daffy.
Hello, Scott.
Now, this is the last round. There's lots of machinations happening. What's happening in the betting with Collingwood and Essendon Friday night at the G?
Well, are Essendon back? That's the big question here. And I must admit, punters think they sort of are because they're $2.95 outsiders. But we've seen a bit of interest in them, Scott. Collingwood $1.40. We've got a handicap line there of 16.5 points.
Wow. And now in Ballarat, I'd have all your money on the Bulldogs to beat Adelaide. Are the punters with me?
Well, they are. It's an amazing turnaround, isn't it, with their fortunes and the lack of fortunes of the Adelaide Crows over the past few weeks. It's a pretty simple equation here. The Bulldogs have got to win and they're priced accordingly, and punters are happy to take it. $1.36, the Crows at $3.20, line there 18.5 points.
Wet, windy Ballarat. Adelaide won't like that. Bye-bye. Now, Brisbane. They passed their test against Geelong at home, but Richmond at the MCG is another kettle of fish. What are the punters thinking?
Well, they have a very, very poor record against Richmond, as we know. The same fixture last year. They haven't played this year. Last year, Richmond won 110-17, but it's a new Brisbane side. They've got a new motor. They're lengthy outsiders again, but they have defied the odds all season. They're $2.75. The Tigers at $1.45. Handicap line there, 14.5 points.
Beautiful. Now the flag, it's been jumping all over the place. What, after watching Richmond West Coast and Geelong Brisbane, what did the punters decide?
Well, I don't know whether there's a terrible lot between these four sides. Price-wise, we've got the Tigers back into favourites at $3.50 ahead of West Coast at $4.25. The Cats are at $5. And Brisbane, well, it's still a healthy price given where they sit on the ladder. They're at $6.50. Collingwood have come right back into contention price-wise. Scotty, there, $7.50. The Bulldogs, 21 on Monday. They're into 17 now. Then 26 or better for the rest, headed up by Greater Western Sydney. But the money sides this week, definitely the Bulldogs at $21 and to a lesser degree, Richmond at $3.50.
And the Brownlow, there's a bit of jumping around. Patrick Dainsville probably gets votes again. There was a few Bulldogs putting their hands up. What, any big changes?
Yeah, there has been. Now, he's the new favourite. He's at $3, just ahead of Fife at $3.50. Lockie Neal out to $6.50. Bontempelli into $7. He probably would have been amongst the votes again last week. Patrick Cripps has dropped off the radar. He's out to $9, as has Tim Kelly, of course. Those two dominated the Brownlow market for many, many weeks. Kelly now $10. Adam Treloar, another one that's creeping into the market as well, Scotty, at $15. But Dangerfield, he's the $3 favourite this week, and he is the money player as well.
Beautiful, Jared. Fun times ahead. Thanks again.
Thanks, Scott.
And that's it for Super Footy Podcast for Tab. Who are you backing?